Nope. Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Monday, August the 19th. And of course, there's so much going on that we all understand today. It's politics day in the Democratic Party, and all of that's well understood. But I want to start with something completely different for a moment, because I feel like it. And I think it's important for this to be said, and I'm sure it's being said all over the United States and maybe all over the world for that matter. But today, Phil Donahue died. And Phil was 88 years old, so obviously he lived a fabulous life, a long time. And I've seen him recently, and he looked extremely frail. It was, in many ways, difficult to look at him because he was obviously in a tough situation. But, you know, birthdays will do that to you. And Phil certainly had 88 of them. And What an amazing broadcaster for everybody that's either been on the air somewhere or watched a talk show. Phil Donahue started really so much. No question, there were a few others. I know some names out in Los Angeles that you know had local talk shows, but Phil Donahue was national every single day, Monday through Friday, and eventually was responsible for bringing Oprah to the airwaves. So, I mean, this was not only a person that was a great broadcaster, but extremely generous as well. I mean, he cared about other people in very significant ways. And he did such things on the air that at the time there were people who laughed at him. He wore a dress on the air, not exactly a dress, but a skirt. And there was a reason for it. You know, he just did everything right, absolutely everything right. And, you know, I remember when he started interviewing and working with Vladimir Posner, who was from Russian radio, but he was a guy who sounded like anybody else from the United States. He had a perfect American accent. He had grown up in Brooklyn, and he worked with Donahue in ways that were so informative and so valuable. And in some cases, pretty courageous, to tell you the truth, because he sometimes upset his Russian people, although he was on the air at the time in Russia. But he did not hold back, and he was an amazing person as well. But all of this came from Phil Donahue, and just an incredible American broadcaster with just a long life that ended today. So just wanted to mention that because I just think Phil Donahue is too important to all of us. And certainly in terms of the broadcasting part, certainly in terms of, you know, the whole idea of freedom of speech. And you know, he didn't put people on the air to be funny. He put people on the air to help them tell a story. He told that story for a very long time. And I remember when he came back to MSNBC when he was older and after he had been off the air for a while, and it never worked on MSNBC. It just didn't. But boy, it worked when he was in Chicago and he did those broadcasts. And, you know, I just think it's so memorable to think about him today that it just felt that it was important to comment on it to that degree. And, of course, there's another person close to that age, and that's Joe Biden, who is 82 years old, and he will speak tonight at the Democratic Party convention. And I know there are so many people trying to get into Joe Biden's head and his wife, Jill Biden, trying to figure out what it is they might say and how they're going to say it. But I will guarantee you that the words that he finds tonight will be so perfectly said that on Earth One, where we believe in facts and where we believe in reality, what we look at what we see and we know what we see is that. We understand that we see truth and we recognize it. We understand it. And it won't be that controversial what Joe says. I mean, it's not a question of anything that he says that won't be true or that somebody will consider to not be true. It's just that it's the humanity of it all. That's really the point. This is a night all about humanity at the Democratic Party convention. And, you know, there will be politics there, of course. Well, there should be. It's a Democratic Party convention. Not like the old day conventions, that's for sure. Not where something's going to happen that we don't know about. I mean, everything will be scripted, of course. But what Joe Biden does will absolutely reflect the humanity in the Democratic Party. And at the same time, you're going to see the same thing from Hillary Clinton tonight. Because there are going to be some people up there that are going to say some things that are going to be very heartfelt, very sincere, and separate from the politics. Now, like I say, the politics will be there, but the part that will be separate will represent an aspect of humanity that is so missing in so much of what goes on today having to do with government. And with that part aside, let me also say that it's the perfect understanding that will come out of this in terms of what's wrong with Donald Trump. Because aside from the fact that we all know that he has no humanity, and that's really the point of it, that's really the issue in this upcoming election. Because this isn't an election about issues, although Kamala Harris will talk about issues. Of course she will. Donald, of course, says nothing about issues, and he won't. And of course, there are people that I don't know whether to say he works for them or they work for him. I don't know how you would even determine that. But the thing about it is, there are people who tell him to please get with some issues. Deal with this as a presidential campaign, not a vaudeville act. And he can't do it. In fact, he explains that he can't do it, and he talks about it and says that it's not him. And I think that's probably the only truthful thing that's ever come out of his mouth. Talking about issues, talking about things that represent people's real feelings, that's just not part of his ability to speak or to participate in the political world. He just can't do it. It's just this total lack of humanity. And, you know, it would be so easy, I mean, just simple, for Donald to hop on some venue today, or he could have done this last week, and he could have said, you know, although we're all at odds over political issues, he could have said something nice about Joe Biden. Not because of Joe, not in order to make Joe Biden feel better, but he could have done it in order to show people that he has some aspect of humanity underlying everything that he's doing. But he can't even do that much, which would be to his benefit. And trust me, I'm thrilled that he can't do it. I really don't want him to show the slightest bit of humanity, because anything he does like that could get him a vote. Every time that he could stand up and act like an actual person, he might get a vote. Because there are people out there on all sides that really are looking for some way to tap into humanity. They really are, even on the Republican side. And I say even, but, you know, there are thousands, in fact, hundreds of thousands of Republicans who have jumped up and announced that they're voting for Kamala Harris. I mean, there's a whole thing. I think it was 170,000 last week. Republicans for Kamala Harris. You know, there are all these other groups that are doing this, but those you can understand. You know, white men, women, black women, you know, all these different groups, young people, all jumping to the opportunity to announce that they're part of a group supporting Kamala Harris. I mean, this is just part of the electrification of this entire campaign. The Democratic Party is just on fire with enthusiasm. They care about what they're doing. They care about the people that they're trying to represent. They care about the women who are hoping for the first woman president of the United States, who in this case would actually be the first black woman president of the United States. And, you know, it's so funny, too, because even this issue of identity, I don't even remember who I said it to, but I said something to someone about her being of Indian descent. And immediately, acting like somehow this was denying her blackness. And of course that's not true. This woman is black. She has always said that she was black. And also, she's Indian. She's Indian, she's black, she's Jamaican. I mean, she's got a number of things in her background. I don't know what else there is. It doesn't really matter. The point is, she's black. And especially in America. I mean, in America, you know, because of the racism, because of the hatred, and believe me, this is not old hatred. This is current hatred. Because of that, if you're black, I mean a little bit black, America considers you to be black. Now, most people at this stage who are in that situation are proud to be black, and that's a good thing. But I have to tell you that it's incredible the lengths to which people will go to mess with her identity for no reason and to no purpose and for no benefit at all to the Republican Party, because it only makes people angry. It certainly makes black people angry, but it also makes some other people angry too. Other people with other backgrounds don't like the fact that the Republican Party, and Donald specifically, is messing with this lady's identity. Again, to no purpose. We saw what he did at the Black Journalist Conference. What was the purpose of that? All he did is aggravate people. It's not a question of how the black journalist felt. It's not a question of how other black people felt. It's not just a question of politics. It is absolutely a question of humanity. And there are people, all these 170,000 Republicans who last week jumped up and said they're for Kamala Harris. That's what they're angry about. This lack of humanity in the party. Now, you look at somebody like, you know, Haley. I mean, I don't understand Nikki Haley. I mean, what's her point? You know, she does speak against Donald, but she's still trying to have it both ways. And there's nothing that gets people more angry than someone trying to get it both ways. You've got former Congressman Kinzinger, who's going to speak up tonight in favor of Kamala after he was deprived of his political position because he opposed Donald. And, of course, we all know that Liz Cheney went through this. And she's still as powerful a speaker as you can find against Donald Trump. She doesn't care how it affects anything. She's just going to say the right thing. Now, it is interesting that there may be a time when she's able to get back into the party as a leader once Donald disappears and is deposited, as I always say, on the ash heap of history where he belongs with Joe McCarthy. And who knows? Maybe the Liz Cheneys and the Kinzingers and others, Joe Walsh and others in the Republican Party who have split from Donald and refused to jump back on his side, they may be the people that benefit tremendously from this. But I really get the sense that they just don't care. They care about the issue. They care about democracy. But they don't care if they ever get a position again in the political world or not. I think they would like to have it for the benefit of the country. And I think that if they could get a political position, I think there are a lot of things they would learn from this in the way that they would act in the future. But we'll never know until we either reach that day or not. Maybe that day will never come. But overall, there's just so much today in terms of the whole idea of the importance of humanity that we can get from this convention tonight. And I think I've really said it pretty explicitly as well, that the death of Phil Donahue is part of this whole story, because he led the way decades ago in trying to be a real person, concerned about everybody, certainly very concerned about women always. And, you know, it's just tonight is just an interesting night from that standpoint. And again, like I say, I believe that you're going to hear words from Joe Biden. I don't know what Jill Biden's going to say. I can't even begin to tell you. And it doesn't bother me, and I'm not worried about it. I do care about what Joe Biden says, because I think that he is going to reveal to people tonight what it is that we really care about in this country over on Earth One. I can't tell you what they're thinking about on Earth Two. I just have no idea. And I'll grant you, they don't know what's happening on Earth One, so that's the whole point of this division. But I really think that there are things that we're going to hear and see tonight that are going to go far beyond any political conversation. And I think that's really an important part of what we're going to see tonight. I'm really very much looking forward to it. You know, over the weekend, we certainly heard more and more of the lunacy that has constantly come from Donald Trump. For example, calling Kamala Harris names. What's the point of that? I mean, there are people who have spoken out against it. Lindsey Graham spoke out against it this weekend on the political talk shows. And he really was begging Donald to cut it out and to get into a political campaign. This Vaudeville Act, which, first of all, is so old, but on top of that, completely ineffective. People listen to this, they may laugh, but that laugh mostly is really laughing at him. Laughing at him because of realizing how ridiculous it is to put himself in that position. And Kamala just keeps on coming with all kinds of proposals for governance, and Donald ignores every bit of it. Now, I guess after what Kamala said today about raising the corporate tax rate to 28% again, I would guess that Donald will speak about that, because I know he's all proud of himself for dropping that tax rate for billionaires. And he is proud of it. Did he accomplish anything? Sure, he made some billionaires more wealthy. He did that. What did he do for the country? Absolutely nothing. Because we know that the results economically from 2020 to 2024 have seriously exceeded what Donald Trump did from 2016 to 2020. I know that Donald says the opposite. He says that he had the greatest economy in history. Now, you know that's not true. You know, I'm sure, that from 1946 all the way into the 1960s and up to 1970, that the economy of the United States was booming. Part of the reason was because we sent people who fought in the war, both World War II and Korea, we sent them to school for free. They went to college. And that college education, which we delivered to millions and millions of people for free, really helped this country to fight against what we believed at the time was a deficiency against the Russians. Of course, now in later years, we look back and we realize that we weren't really deficient at all, and that it was our fears that were speaking. It was not anything real. But nevertheless, we spent all this money on sending all these people to college, and it did have a dramatic impact on our country, which, by the way, is also interesting, because as we got to that point in 1946, 47, 48, when we were sending all these people who came home from the war into the universities, it was amazing how high our debt was, which, again, it was like 140% of GDP, the highest ever in our history. But it didn't stop the ability of the United States to put on this fabulous 20-year growth spurt that far exceeded everything in our history. It was phenomenal. Now, Donald was president for 4 years, and he never matched any of that, either before COVID and certainly not after, because he was gone. And then in come came Joe Biden, who did far exceed the ability of Donald to grow the economy during his time in office. You can give credit to all different kinds of things in looking at what Biden did and saying, okay, he accomplished X and Donald accomplished Y, and X exceeded Y. And you could say because of lots of reasons, more than just what Joe Biden did. But certainly Joe Biden didn't hurt it. And he did spend a lot of money, not as much as Donald Trump spent. Donald Trump spent unbelievable trillions of dollars before COVID with these crazy tax cuts that he gave to billionaire owners of corporate stock. But Donald didn't care because he could just tell any story he wants. He still tells the story. He makes it up. He says anything. And when he says that the economy was better during his time in office than for any president in history, there are millions of Republicans who believe it. They just do. They don't care what he says. Anything he says, they believe. I always tell my Republican friends, this is the worst thing I say to them, and it's really not that nice, but it's not bad to them, really, truly, it's not. But I say, look, if Donald Trump ever met you, he would spit in your eye, because that's just the kind of guy he is. He doesn't care about anybody. He doesn't care about anything. Except I think he doesn't want to go to jail. I think. I can't even tell you that. It's truly hard to say, because he is so bizarre. I've always said he needs a straitjacket, and the person I know that comes the closest to saying that is George Conway, who probably knows more than almost anybody except for Mary Trump. And again, George Conway knows because Kellyanne, his wife, has been there with Donald all the way through, and it allowed George an opportunity to look inside what's happening with this man, which most people just don't have access to it. But certainly George Conway does, and as well, Mary Trump does. But, you know, people feel like Mary Trump has an axe to grind because Donald stole her blind, stole his whole family blind, to tell you the truth. And they all talk about it all the time. And of course, the people who love Donald, they just assume that this is sour grapes in some way. Some way. I can't even imagine what that is, because they had an inheritance coming to them, and Donald took it, and he took it and he lost it. I mean, everything that Donald ever achieved was in terms of somebody giving something to him. Even that television show, Mark Burnett gave it to him. That's all. without Mark Burnett, Donald would have had nothing. And with that in mind, let me also add this. This is worth saying. I've talked about it so many times. Today, which again is August 19th, and we've got 12 more days in this month, all the way to the 31st of August. And at that point, Donald does have the ability to sell that idiotic stock of his and get whatever money he can out of it. But I think it's worth noting that today, with the stock market continuing to recover almost all the way back to the level that it reached prior to the decline that Donald called the Kamala crash, but it lasted a short period of time. Market fell worst 3% in a day, didn't come anywhere close to the 12.9% in Japan. A lot of technical factors that caused all of that. And like I've said before, the trouble in our economics and the trouble in our markets, I think, is still ahead of us. I think we're still looking at problems that are coming. But in any event, the market has recovered all the way back to where it was prior to what, again, Donald called the Kamala crash. But this guy's so-called company, if you want to call it that, dropped today almost another dollar a share. So that's another $100 million that Donald lost today. But even better than that, I say better because I want him to lose. I want him to lose every penny. I want it to go all the way down to zero, which I've said it could go to a dollar. And the reason is not because, you know, I want to hurt him. I mean, I definitely want to make it impossible for him to ever get into the White House again. Outside of that, I don't want to hurt the man, but I do think this. I think that he is so deceitful that I think that if he can get 10 cents out of that company, he'll try to use it to make it look like somehow in some way that he's some kind of an economic success, that he's a great businessman. Well, this great businessman has already given up about $7 billion in the last, say, 3.5-4 months. And he's got about $2 billion left. So if that thing can hold in here at 22, good for him. He's got $2 billion. He won't use it for anything constructive, I assure you, except for maybe he'll try to buy himself some way out of jail. But here's the other side. Between now and the 31st and the next 12 days, if that stock plunges, well, it's the best thing that could happen. And I think it would show almost better than anything else how everything he touches dies. Just does. And truly, the fact that it's gone, that stock has gone from 80 to 22, which is now the lowest it's been, because 23 was the level they held a couple of months ago, and then it had a bounce, which I described, as you may recall, as a dead cat bounce. That's a Wall Street term, believe it or not, meaning nothing bad against the cats. But here's the thing. It's now fallen below the previous low, and the slightest sign of weakness in the market could add to the pressure and take this thing all the way down to where I've projected, which would be one. And you know, I'm only saying one because it's pretty hard to take a company's stock below one. One, you know, almost anybody will pay one for anything just to see if they can maybe somehow squeeze out a penny or two. So that might hold. But I do think that he's on the verge of potentially, anyway, very, I think there's some likelihood to it, of giving back every nickel that he was handed in that SPAC, Special Purpose Acquisition Company. He won't be the first person that's played that game, and other people have come out of it with money. It's happened. Other people have gone broke doing it. I would expect that Donald will go broke further because that's where he's always been. It's where he belongs. And I just wonder if it does happen, how many people will still claim that Donald is some kind of a great businessman who has been able to accomplish amazing things. I mean, at this point, he's taken a total of $9 billion and dropped it down to $2 billion. And that's certainly Donald Trump. That's very consistent with what this man has done throughout his life. And so that's a pretty good sign of what kind of a guy he is. But you know what? Taking it down to one would really put the icing on the cake, as they say. And I think that might be where we're headed. But we'll see. We'll see. But I think it's worth looking at because, again, this is a company that lost last year $58 million doing nothing. I mean, the company doesn't do anything. They did raise some money somewhere. They got somebody to put up some money for them. So they did have some cash in the bank that was put there by some people who gave him money. They just gave it to him. And as others have said, it's really, in a way, a political contribution. And who knows if someday that it'll ever come to a discussion of that. But the truth is, this is a mess that he has created here. And I guarantee you that there are thousands of people in this country who have bought into that stock all the way up to $80 a share and are now being completely wiped out because they did what other people have done in the past, which is go along with Donald Trump. It's not a smart thing to do. But I'll tell you what's a really smart thing to do, and that is go to dinner tonight at Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And believe me, they've got food that is extraordinary. Everybody loves their wings. They are excellent. And they've got smoked meats. They've got hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts, salads, wonderful drinks. A lot of people drink all different kinds of things. I drink, you know, iced tea and some decaf coffee. That's what I drink these days. But at any rate, the iced tea is outstanding at Wendy's. It really is. So that's another thing to consider. And, of course, baby back ribs and onion rings. I love their onion rings. Now, after all that is said, all you got to do is hop in your car and drive to Defiance and do it all over again because it's the same great Wendy's food at 2999 South Highway 94 in Defiance. That's Wendy's. If you're interested in jewelry, you can go to 4506 Hampton, and there they've got cases and cases of really beautiful pieces of jewelry and great prices because Al and his son AJ they want to do good business and they make it worthwhile for the people who come in to Jewels on Hampton. Not to mention the fact that Al's just a good guy and you'll really enjoy meeting him. But beyond all that, the jewelry is outstanding. They design jewelry. They're very creative. They buy and sell jewelry and coins. They're very fair. And I can tell you, I had an interesting experience this last weekend. I was there, and they've got a sheriff, a deputy sheriff who's there. And this guy wasn't older or anything. I mean, he was, I would say he's probably, 45-ish. Not an old guy at all. But I did ask him if he knew Alfred. That's, of course, my 29-year-old student who just became the sheriff of the city of St. Louis. And I'm very proud of Alfred, and I really am excited about his time that he's going to spend in that sheriff's office, because I expect that not only is Alfred going to do a great job, but he's also probably going to have a great political career here in St. Louis, as well as he's going to run that office, I think, very well. Anyway, the sergeant who I met there was, you know, excited because I had told him that I would next month bring Alfred to meet him at the jewelry store. Alfred's sort of a star right now, and like I say, I'm really proud of him. He's done a great job. A young person who ran for office 4 years ago, he lost, came right back, and won. He's a perfect example of persistence, and he's just a smart young guy. So that's my friend Alfred. But again, that was a connection to Jewels on Hampton, and I hope you'll go there and check them out. And of course, on top of everything, they'll fix your watch. Jewels on Hampton. Now, if you're looking for clothes, place to go is the St. Louis Suit Company for men. And I can tell you they have everything. They've got shirts and ties, $5, unbelievable. They've got shoes. They've got overcoats. You still got a shot at getting some good prices on those overcoats until the weather turns. And it might even be a little before that that they start changing the prices. I just get in there and check out those overcoats because they got some bargains there at the St. Louis Suit Company. Now, on top of all of that, I can tell you that their suits and their sport coats are really excellent. And then, of course, if you're getting married, and I was over there this weekend, and once again, they had several people in there just in the half hour I was there who were coming in to get their clothes for their weddings, because that's one of the big things that they do at the St. Louis Suit Company. They do weddings. So check them out. Forsyth and Central in Clayton, St. Louis Suit Company. They've been there for 30 years. You'll love it. And don't forget those ties, because those prices are no joke. These ties are as good as you can find anywhere. $5. Okay. So let's get to politics a little bit, because here we are tonight. We're talking, I've said, about humanity. But beyond that, there's going to be a lot of politics at that convention tonight, which there should be. 82-year-old president of the United States, so fondly respected by the Democratic Party. And again, I know that there are people who say, oh, look what they did to Joe, and especially on the Republican side, because they want to find something to use against Kamala, because they just can't understand why she has electrified this country. Why has Kamala Harris excited this country beyond anything that we can remember? And I'll tell you, when people say it's like Barack Obama, I have to say, not quite. I don't think it's as good as Barack Obama. I think it's good, but better than Barack Obama. That's what I meant to say. Barack Obama, just good guy, didn't always live up to what he promised. Not that he broke promises, it's just he had some problems getting some things done at times, and sometimes he didn't have the courage that he could have had. in my view, I often thought he was more like Jimmy Carter, who I also respect greatly, but I just think that not always as tough as he could have been. But see, here, I think this is way different. I think that Kamala Harris is tough. I think she's smart. I think she's very effective as a speaker, at least as good as Barack Obama, who was a great speaker. And we'll see that Thursday night at the convention. But I do believe that, Kamala, like Joe Biden, I mean, I think she learned this with Joe Biden, and that is to use the opportunity to be in government to promote policies. And so, for example, you know, Joe Biden brought up that child tax credit for having your children taken care of. And we've talked about this before, and everywhere people know that the cost of taking care of children is just enormous. When you go to work, if you've got to take your child to get some care during the day, besides the fact that you worry because you don't always know who's taking care of your child, that's an issue for sure, big issue. But the cost is another story altogether. It is amazingly high. You know, it costs easily $1,500 a month. And if you get to $2,000 a month, that wouldn't be a surprise either. That's how much it costs to have your children taken care of. And so Kamala Harris has jumped into this political policy debate by saying that she would expand that number, the tax credit, all the way to $6,000. That's a lot. That's a real attempt to make sure that people with children are able to go to work and have their kids taken care of properly, despite the fact that the prices are going to be high. Now, I know that Kamala has talked about some other issues as well on the economic side. She is saying that we ought to find a way to stop corporations from gouging their customers. And I think that's something that you would love to see. But I'm going to say that I do think that she might not be so successful with this. This is not easy. When you start telling corporations what to do about their pricing, it can be a problem. You know, I think back to Herbert Hoover, who watched the economy just collapse around him in 1929, and he told corporations that they should refuse to lower their prices in the midst of a generalized deflation and depression. And it didn't work because it's not like that. You have to look at your bottom line as a corporation, and you have to see what you can afford and what you can't. Now, I'm not saying that these companies that are gouging should be doing that. Of course not. And I think it's worth the effort to try to stop this. But I just wouldn't be shocked if it fails. Because, like I say, getting corporations to control their prices because of government mandates, it's just not, it's not been that successful. It's worked in some ways, in some periods, but it's just, it's not necessarily, in general, a great idea. But we'll see. She's not dumb. She's talked about this a little bit to the point of trying to explain what she thinks that she can accomplish. Her heart's in the right place. Her economic ideas are certainly in the right place. But whether she can accomplish it, I don't know. I have some concerns, but then again, I don't worry about doing it. I mean, trying it is worth it. If it doesn't work, she'll have to admit it, but we'll see. But this is something that she's definitely attempting, that is, to control some of these cost increases that don't come from necessarily the marketplace, but come from corporations that have found that they have an opportunity to raise prices to a certain degree. And because they're able to, they've done it. It's not widespread. It really is not. I go to the grocery store all the time, and I assure you that all this talk about inflation is widely inflated. Most of it is just not true. But, I mean, here's the perfect example. And this is where you might be able to have some success. I've talked about this before. If you go to CVS and you try to buy ACT mouthwash, which is pretty favorite among dentists, I mean, they like this. They say it's very healthy for people from a dental standpoint, and they recommend it, and you know, it's not cheap. When you buy it at CVS in Target, you'll pay for a large bottle $6.50. But if you go to the CVS right down the street, which is a standalone CVS, not inside Target, at that place, you're going to pay for the exact same mouthwash over $9. What's the purpose of that? So there is an example of something that maybe the government could actually control. Maybe there's the opportunity to step in and do something to stop from this gouging. I mean, that's gouging. I mean, that's just right down the street, the same exact company, one inside Target, the other standalone, and almost a $3 difference in the item. Doesn't make sense. So there's somewhere that maybe the government could have some impact. I don't know if that's exactly where this is going to go. And if it is, maybe it'll be very successful. We'll see. But that's something that's certainly an economic proposal. And she's making this effort, which she says she's doing, to help families. So she says she's doing it, and now she's going to try to do it. She's doing it with the child care credit, and she's trying to do it with this gouging business. She's going to try to extend what they've already done in working with drug companies to negotiate prices, certainly for Medicare, and then also for others who may not be in Medicare, and then also there's even some talk about extending the opportunities that people have in Medicare to others at a lower age, below 65. I mean, all of this is an attempt to deal with our economic problems. And what does Donald offer us? A border wall, which he had 4 years to construct and did nothing about. Absolutely nothing. Maybe they put up a couple of slabs somewhere. I'm telling you right now, they don't have a border wall. And whatever they put up, to whatever small degree they did, certainly wasn't paid for by Mexico. So, I mean, perfect example. Donald mouths off about everything, but does nothing. He mouths off about Kamala Harris being stupid. He says she's stupid. He says she's dumb. He says she has a low IQ. Well, here's the thing. There are a lot of issues that you could deal with. But one thing we know for sure, Kamala Harris is not stupid. She could be wrong about something, sure. But she's just not stupid. She's a smart woman, and she's very assertive, very beautifully spoken, well-spoken. She's a very accomplished politician. And Donald says that she's terrible, that she's going to push the country into communism. You would think he'd be embarrassed to say those words after Joe McCarthy, 70 years ago, ran around screaming such nonsense and ended up fully disgraced. And so Donald looks for the worst of the worst in our history, in our economic past, and he grabs for it and he puts it front and center and says, this is my policy. My policy is that Kamala Harris is stupid. And then he's got a better one. She's ugly. Now, honestly, if she were ugly, what difference would that make? But listen, there's nobody that looks at Kamala Harris that thinks that she's ugly. I mean, it's just a ridiculous comment. I hear some peanut gallery people saying, I do. But listen, it's ridiculous. She's not ugly. And then for Donald to say, I am better looking than her. Again, it's a great vaudeville act. It's just not a presidential campaign. And here's one for you. Donald says that the reason that Kamala did not pick Josh Shapiro as vice president is because she hates Jews. Now, we all know that she's married to a Jewish guy. That doesn't prove anything, but I will say this. If there were the slightest hint that she were anti-Jewish, that would have come up so long ago. And I can tell you that you can imagine that this Emhoff guy would not be running around with her if she hated Jews. He's got a Jewish family. She's part of this Jewish family. Those are her kids. She takes care of the kids that came from that previous marriage that he had, and they're Jewish. So why even go here? What's the purpose? First of all, he doesn't know anything about it. And the second thing is, does he think he's going to get a Jewish person to vote against her by him saying that she's a Jew hater? That is just so foolish. There's nobody that's going to even buy this argument. They won't listen to it. They won't believe it. They'll think he's crazy, and he is crazy. This is what he calls policy. It's a vaudeville act. But tonight, instead, you're going to hear humanity. I guarantee you that's what you're going to hear, and I guarantee you when you hear it, you'll recognize it. Tonight, the first night of the Democratic Party convention, I'll see you tomorrow. Wendy's, Jules on Hampton, St. Louis Suit Company. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.